Track 10, and we have a feature article for you this week. TNF Soundings contributor Liz introduces us to the life and works of Nellie Bly. This is someone I'd never heard of, but she was a groundbreaking American journalist, industrialist, inventor, and supporter of Votes for Women. Among her many achievements, Nellie was known for a record-breaking trip around the world and her undercover work to expose the treatment of patients in a mental institution. It is a fascinating story. It's read by Liz McIntyre Allen, whose voice we've heard before. She was born and brought up on the south side of Glasgow and attended Glasgow University, where she was awarded an honours degree in history and comparative religion. She stayed at home for several years while she raised a family and then decided to re-enter academic life as a mature student. After a happy career in education, she decided to take a different path as a storyteller. And here she is, telling the story of Nellie Bly.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again, it's Liz. I'm here with another story. Now, this is maybe a woman you've never heard of, but my golly, she was overlooked by history. I could say very cliché-type phrases. You know, she had a way with words. She had a taste for adventure, but I better tell her you what her name was, and then we'll get on with her life and see if you enjoy it. She was born in America, born near Pittsburgh in 1864, and her birth name was Elizabeth Cochrane. She was born to a family who, two generations earlier, had left Londonderry in Northern Ireland. Her father worked very hard in the mills, and her father did well. But he also married twice and he had 14 children, so maybe by the time young Elizabeth was a teenager, there wasn't really much money for her education. She decided she wanted to learn literature. She went to the local college, and after 1 year of academic learning, the money had been used up and she had to leave. Now, she's only 15 or 16. She has discovered a zeal for information and a zeal for using words. And she reads in the local newspaper, the Pittsburgh Dispatch, an article which was called "What Girls Are Good For." Basically, girls were only good for having children and doing housework. And at the age of 16, young Elizabeth Cochrane was so angry about this that she wrote an article back to the editor of the Pittsburgh Dispatch saying that women needed chances. Women could do far more than just stay at home and have children. And she called her article "The Girl Puzzle." And she said one of many things that was wrong in America at that time were all the laws surrounding divorce. Now, the editor must have been so shocked, maybe by her courage, but also by her talent, that he offered her a chance, a full-time job as a reporter. But he said, "You know, Elizabeth, your name is no good. I'm going to give you a pen name." And at that time, there was a popular music hall song, and it was called Nellie Bly. So that became her name, and that's the name that she is most widely remembered for. Now, how to use a talented young girl like this? She started to write articles about the lives of the working women, especially the toils of the factory workers, and they were so widely read and actually so powerful and popular that the local employers complained to the Pittsburgh Dispatch editor, saying, "This young gal is, you know, she's making women rebellious. You need to move her somewhere else." So Nellie was moved across to the women's pages. She was bored because she was reporting about fashion and about gardening. It wasn't enough. She writes at the age of 21, "I am determined to do something no girl has done before." She took herself down to Mexico as a foreign correspondent. Once again, she highlighted the problems of the local people, the problems of an elite who were ruling things according to their own ideas. She was threatened with arrest and brought back to USA by her editor to protect her. What next will Nellie do? Well, she thought really that Pittsburgh wasn't a big enough pond for her. She moved to New York and impressed the editor of a New York paper to the extent that he sent her really into danger. He sent her on an undercover assignment to find out what conditions were really like in some of the mental institutions of the time in New York State. The bold Nellie feigned insanity, so superbly, in fact, that she convinced the police and then the judge that she was insane. And she was sent to an institution on an island. And it was dreadful. There was abuse, there was neglect, and she wrote about it. Her editor managed to pull strings and have her released, but she wrote a very widely read book called 10 Days in a Madhouse. And that really cemented her celebrity status. Now, how do you go on from something like that? She has said women can report on serious topics. She has written that women are powerful if they're given chances. And around that time, there was a lot of pleasure in the literary world at the success of a book by Jules Verne, Around the World in 80 Days. The editor and Nellie both said, now that would be a story for our very go-getting young gal. And that's what they decided to do. They sent Nellie to actually go round the world, so not the fictitious Phileas Fogg. There are lovely photographs of Nellie wearing a long dress, a sturdy overcoat, several changes of underwear, and a small travel bag of toiletries. That was her travel kit. She wore her money around her neck. She mainly travelled on steamships and existing railroad systems when she was delayed by either weather or the steamship timetables. She managed to observe different areas of China and different areas of Singapore. On her final leg in this race against the 80 days, she actually encountered severe weather in the Pacific. But she was able to land back on the west coast of America, and Pulitzer, her editor, was so pleased with her efforts that he provided her with a private train for the last stage of her journey. And she came back to New Jersey after travelling around the world in 72 days. So Nellie Bly broke, in reality, the world record of the fictitious Phileas Fogg. Now, how do you top life after you've done something like that? She decided to try writing novels. She wrote 11, not very successful, but then again, you can't manage everything successfully every time. And then love came into Nellie's life. Outsiders said, this is a bizarre romance. He was a millionaire, which was maybe attractive to Nellie, but he was also 40 years older than Nellie. However, she wasn't going to be held back, and they were married, and they lived happily for a few years. During that time, she learnt how his money had been made. He was in the iron manufacturing trade. So then, when her husband died, Nellie, ever courageous, took over the company and decided not only to make it a model of social welfare for the workers, and she provided recreational facilities, she also decided to turn her mind to invention, and she submitted a patent for a style of milk can and a form of stacking garbage can. The business, however, failed. Because she was a leading woman industrialist in all sorts of social ways, but she was hopeless at understanding the money, and she was declared bankrupt. Ever the resolution of our Nellie was, pick yourself up, girl. And she went back to her first love, her love of words. and she applied and was accepted to be a reporter. She had a track history of words, after all. And she took herself off to the Eastern Front during World War I, the area of Serbia, Austria, where the war had really begun, interviewing people of all ages, interviewing people across all spectrum of society, and became known as someone who kept asking questions, which of course put her under suspicion of, you know, why is she finding all this out and who is she telling about the things she now knows? And for a certain time during World War I, she was even mistaken and arrested as a British spy. Released happily, in her final years, she lent her moral authority and her way with words to the women's suffrage movement in the United States, and correctly predicted it wasn't going to be an easy struggle and it might not be achieved till after the war and after the women of America had shown what they could do in a war. Now, Nellie is someone that's remembered perhaps more in America. Certainly in America, they look on her as being a pioneer of investigative journalism. Goodness sake, they've even given her a stamp, and she was a board game in her lifetime. So she had a huge amount of fame. But why do I want to tell you about Nellie Bly? Well, maybe it was the fact that from a very basic background, her way with words opened up her career and a world for her. I admire very much her sense of adventure at a time when very, very few women were encouraged to do this, and even more were accepted to travel on their own. Goodness, I might even admire her invention of milk cans. But really, the best reason and the strongest reason for me to tell you about Nellie Bly is because she really showed what girls are good for. She didn't just write the words. She really lived the life as well. Thank you for listening to my story about Nellie Bly.
TNF Soundings.